Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 330, called Whitney and Jeremy. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited to tell you that my second children's book, another work of art book, is available now for pre-order. It is called Beautiful Bird, and it's about three parents and one incredible boy who happens to be my godson. It's a family built with love and a little bit of science. So there is a lot going on in this story. It is so beautiful, and I can't wait for you guys to read it. So go check it out. Pre-order it now at infertileafgroup.com. Okay, so just to give you a little preview, Beautiful Bird talks about Helen, who's one of my best friends in the whole world, and how she set out to be a single mom by choice through IUI and sperm donation from her beautiful friend Aaron and Aaron's partner Blake, and how they all came together to raise this beautiful boy named Jack Bird. There's also a NICU stay and so many other things. So it covers a lot in the ART world, and I cannot wait for you guys to read it. Go pre-order it now at infertileafgroup.com. Okay, I also want to invite anybody who's interested to check out Fertility Rally. If you're looking for a safe place to land, it's what I wish I had when I was going through this. Go to fertilityrally.com or our Instagram at Fertility Rally for some more info. We have 4 to 5 support groups every single week. We have 3 private Facebook groups. We have hundreds of women who are going through so many different scenarios who are there in real time to support you. I host a group with Blair, my co-founder, every single Wednesday night. So if you want to check out one of our groups, just DM us at InfertileAF Stories on Instagram or Fertility Rally. We'll send you the link. You can check it out and we would love to see you. All right, let's talk about today's episode. I have this incredible couple on the show today, Whitney and Jeremy. So Whitney is a surrogate and Jeremy is her husband. They're in the military, they're a military family, and they're going to tell us their experience and their family's surrogacy journey. You know, we talk to intended parents a lot on this show, and I have had a few surrogates on, but it's been a minute. So I'm really excited to give you guys the perspective of Whitney, the surrogate herself, and why she got into this, and how the spouse feels about it too, how her husband Jeremy feels about it. So they are so cool. They're so beautiful. They're going to talk about working with Conceivabilities, which is a leading egg donor and surrogacy agency. And I just had the best time talking to them. So without further ado, this is Whitney and Jeremy on Infertile AF. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for being here. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
So let's start with how you guys met, like a little bit on your background. Can you give me the short version of like how you guys met and got together?
We met on a dating site.
Love it.
Plenty of Fish.
Cool.
I was just on there, to be honest, just to like get complimented and to, you know, not really anything serious. I was bored at work. I had a desk job that I really wasn't doing much in. So
I love that.
I needed something to kill time. And then he hit me up a couple of times. I never wrote him back.
Okay.
And he kept pushing. So eventually we started communicating. We had a couple of plans to meet and it just never worked out. I didn't realize how far he was. He was about 1.5 hour, 2 hour drive. from where he was stationed. And, and before you know it, he was getting deployed. So he was leaving. And that was like his last ditch effort to talk to me. And that's when it kind of took off from there.
Okay. So, Jeremy, can you tell us, what do you do in the military?
I'm a military policeman.
Oh, wow. Okay. And where are you guys living right now?
Colorado Springs, Schriever Space Force Base.
Okay. So after you guys got together, fast forwarding a whole bunch, how did the whole surrogacy journey come into your world? Like, how did that become a conversation?
We struggled to get pregnant. We had a early miscarriage when we first started trying. And throughout that year of trying to get pregnant after that happened, it made me think, like, what happens if I can never have children?
Right.
And then I got pregnant with my son, had him in 2020. Mm-hmm. And 3 months postpartum, I got pregnant again with my daughter, and we had her. And leading up to the end of her pregnancy, it really went into my mind, like, I could totally do this for anyone. I had textbook pregnancies. I enjoyed being pregnant. And I liked the delivery aspect. So as soon as I gave birth to her, probably about a month later, I brought it up to him. And that's where it started.
Okay. So, Jeremy, do you remember that moment when it became a discussion? She brought it up. What did you think?
First things first, I asked her if she was being serious, number one.
Right.
And then she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not in the business to tell you, to tell you what to do with your body. So as long as you're safe, okay. And she was like, all right, well, I'm going to fill out this thing. And I was like, okay.
Wow. That's such a sweet response. I love that. So you guys were pretty much on the same page about it right away. It didn't take like a lot of convincing or anything.
Right.
Okay. So Whitney, tell me a little bit more about just why you felt so inclined. You know, you mentioned having great pregnancies, of course, but I'm sure there was a lot more to it. You know, this is obviously being, we always talk about how surrogacy, it's like the most selfless act. Like, it's like the best thing you can do. It's the best gift you can give for someone. It's, surrogates are amazing. So how did you, what else was there in terms of making that decision? Like, what was your why?
It was because of the miscarriage and because it took us so long to conceive our son, Bryson, that feeling of, you know, what if this never happens? I feel like it's never going to happen for us. And all we wanted were to be parents. And so that fear really, I think, drove me to become a surrogate after my two pregnancies.
I love that. So almost like, you know, how hard it can be for some other women. So to make their lives easier. Right. That's, I'm like welling up. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
It is. Well, you know, I'm wondering if there's an alignment here, and I'm guessing there probably is. I'd love to hear what you both have to say about this. Aligning with the values of like being in the military too, like sacrifice, helping others, you know, putting others before yourself, service, all that. Did that come into play as well?
I feel like when it comes to military spouses, there's like a huge conception that, you know, our lives stop. Because we're always having to put our husbands first for everything. And that's why, you know, a lot of military spouses have, you know, feel the need that they need to be stay-at-home moms or can't, you know, advance their careers because at a drop of a dime, we can be sent to the other side of the world. So I feel like this surrogacy journey was me kind of taking control of that and being able to do that while he was still serving in the military.
Is it something you've seen other military spouses consider being a surrogate?
At the time of me becoming a surrogate, no, I hadn't known anybody that was a spouse that had become a surrogate.
Yeah. But
since my journey, I've had a couple of friends that have gone through it as well. So, and I do feel like it's becoming a bigger thing in the military community.
That's cool. Did they come to you for advice? Like, you kind of paved the way.
Oh yeah, totally.
Really? So what kinds of things do you tell people, like if people come to you and want to do this?
I tell them to definitely do their research. You know, it's a pregnancy, but I just tell them about my experience. And I didn't have any negative things happen during my journey. It was always positive and on the right track. So I always speak very highly about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that there's financial compensation. Of course, we don't have to get into details or anything, but having this as, you know, something adding to the finances, did it help with, you know, your lifestyle? Were you able to like spend more time with your kids or have a little more breathing room, or like what were some of the benefits of that?
I think the breathing room, it was nice to know that we had a bigger safety net behind mm-hmm. us if anything happened. I do have a full-time job, so, you know, it was nice that I didn't have to worry about putting so much more money into savings because we already had, you know, we had this.
Okay. So, Jeremy, I want to pivot back to you. What were some of your concerns, if you had any, going into this journey?
As I mentioned before, as long as she was safe, that was her safety and her physical well-being, mental well-being, just her well-being in general was a major concern. But throughout the entire process, for me, it was relatively, you know, very seamless.
Okay.
Everyone was very nice. There was no cause for concern. There was none of that, honestly. And she took it like a champion. So I was there the entire time. I was like, you good? And she gave me a thumbs up. And we just keep pressing.
Aw, I love that. So what would you say the role is of like the spouse of a surrogate? Like, did you have to be in any of the like meetings or on the calls? Did you guys kind of get to know the intended parents? Like, what was your take?
Yeah. So we had a video conference with the intended parents, and we kind of told them our story, and then they told them their story. And then also for medical, we had to fly out to go get, I actually had a blood work done as well. So I think the major role for spouses of surrogates is just support, whatever that may look like. Physical, you know, obviously it's arduous being pregnant, whether it's mental, just being there, being a positive influence. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what my thing was. It's kind of wild that you guys are asking me my opinion because I did absolutely nothing.
But you seem like such an amazing husband and so supportive, and that's actually doing a lot, but I know what you mean. So is there anything surprising that you learned like as the spouse of?
Surprising? I would say, honestly, when she was like, yeah, I got to go to New Jersey to, you know, to get medical and stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And she was like, yeah, well, you need to take leave because you're coming with me too. And I was like,
okay.
Me?
Right.
You guys need to look at me for.
Is that when you had to do the testing and stuff?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amazing. Let's talk about just the process kind of in general and with your family. How did you guys tell your family members that you were going to do this, and what was their reaction? And also, your kids are little, right? But did they know like what was going on? Did you talk to them about this at all?
We did. Bryson was about what, 2 at the time, 2.5. So he really didn't understand. Christine and Mark actually sent us a couple of books on surrogacy. One of them was called like My Mom's a Surrogate. And so we would read that to them. I still don't think that they even remember that.
But right.
It was nice to have and to, you know, tell them about it.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you'll continue to talk about it as they get older?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Okay. I mean, it was a big part of our life. You know, Christine and Mark and Dakota are part of our family now. So it's going to be something that we will share with them as they get older.
Okay. So when you were like really pregnant before you had the baby, were they like, and then you don't come home with the baby, right? Like, how does a kid react to something like that? And how did you explain that?
Well, they both met the baby after she was born. But I, you know, leading up to delivery, we would tell them, you know, mommy's going to go have a baby, but there's going to be no baby at home because she's going to go home with her parents. And so that's, you know, how we would put it.
Okay. Yeah. That's so cool. I think it's really cool. You know, I'm a big advocate of normalizing families being built in all sorts of ways, you know, assisted reproductive technology, surrogacy, adoption, whatever it may be. And I think it's really cool to talk to kids about that too. So there's no stigma. And it's like, oh, she was carried by this woman, but that's her mom, you know, like just making it a normal part of people's lives, I think is so important. So I love that you guys are open with them about it. Let's backtrack a little bit. Tell me about the moment that you guys were matched with your intended parents, and you guys kind of have to pick each other, right?
Yeah.
So how did that work?
They sent us a profile, and it was, you know, Christine and Mark's profile, and it just kind of went through everything, you know, about who they are, why they are, you know, looking for a surrogate, about, you know, their daily lives, everything, jobs, all the things. And then they got one on us or on me as well. Once you get those profiles, you kind of say, okay, I want to meet them, or no, you know, you don't. So we sat down and met them and had, I think it was like a 2-hour video call with both of them, both of us. And then there was somebody from Conceivabilities there as well.
Okay.
That led the conversation.
The meeting. Were you guys nervous at all? Jeremy, were you nervous?
No, not really. Like I said, I didn't have a nickel and a dime in my mind. You know, I was just there to introduce myself, you know, and let them know that their child was going to be safe. I think that was going to be my biggest, biggest influence on that meeting, to let them know that she was going to grow up, be nurtured in a safe environment.
I love that. So Whitney, did you have like a special moment with the intended mom that kind of stands out when you guys just clicked, or you knew that like, this is a great decision?
I think it kind of was there as soon as we got confirmation that we both agreed to move forward after that meeting. I think a bond just formed right then and there. And it just grew every time that we would connect, especially when we would connect in person. So,
okay. Yeah. So let's talk about those in-person visits. How did that, like logistically, what did that look like? When did you guys have to get together in person? For people that, you know, might want to hear more about the ins and outs of the process.
Right. So I believe that we matched with them at the end of July, maybe early August. And by September, we were flying out to New Jersey to their fertility clinic to get medically cleared. Mm-hmm. And that's when we met them for the first time.
Okay. Did you have to travel more than that, like a couple times?
I did. I just had to travel back to New Jersey one more time. And that was for the embryo transfer where I, you know, met them again.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news? We don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Okay, guys, so here is the very exciting news. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code INFERTILEAF at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com and use the code INFERTILEAF for 15% off. Thanks, Happy Mammoth. Okay. And as you guys were going through this process, like, how was it going through like the IVF prep and like the hormones, like all that kind of stuff?
It was a journey.
In what way? Yes.
But I wanted to keep him, you know, involved throughout the whole thing. So he would give me a couple of the shots just to, you know, say he, you know, help out.
Right. Exactly. How was that for you, Jeremy, giving the shots?
Not a doctor.
It's weird, right?
It just was something that, you know, it was just a trust thing, I guess.
Yeah. I love that. Can you talk about transfer day?
Yeah. The transfer was very nerve-wracking. I actually got to bring a support person with me because we had two small children. Jeremy stayed behind. And I actually took one of my girlfriends with me, who actually ended up being a surrogate after me as well.
Oh, how cool.
So she flew out there with me. It was very nerve-wracking. We had to be there early. It was, you know, after COVID. So the intended parents couldn't actually go down with me for the embryo transfer. So I had to video them. So she was in the room with them when it happened. And after it, everybody was just in tears, like from her watching them, you know, in this big moment and me watching them over the phone. It was amazing.
It's very emotional. So what about when you found out, did it work that very first time?
It did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So when you got that news, how did you guys feel?
It was amazing. I remember taking a pregnancy test pretty early, to be honest with you. And it showed up and I texted her and I was like, I just, you know, give me a phone call when you have a chance, you know. And that moment over the phone was super special too. And I believe it was like right before Christmas.
Oh.
Or no, maybe it was right after. No, it was right before New Year's.
Okay.
So I, you know, I made sure Christine was alone. So, you know, I didn't tell her husband that news. I wanted that to be a special moment for them.
Oh, so thoughtful.
It worked out so well.
Do you remember what you said?
I think I, you know, had her on FaceTime and just showed her the test. Yeah. Tears from both of us just, you know, started flowing.
Absolutely. So what is it like, Whitney, for people who haven't been through this? How do you explain, you know, you're pregnant, but, you know, at the end of this, you're giving the baby to the intended parents, you know, you're not coming home with the baby. Does that make, is it very, very different from being pregnant with your own children?
I don't think it's that different, to be honest with you. I had a big conversation with myself before the embryo transfer, like, don't get too attached. You know, this isn't your baby. You're just, you know, helping somebody. And I think because I felt that need that I wanted to help somebody have a baby, that it was just easy and seamless for me. But a lot of people do get concerned that they're going to get like super attached to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I told our matchmaker or match coordinator when we were getting matched was that we didn't want to be matched with somebody that looked like us, just so it was that much easier. Like when the baby came out, like we knew it,
it
didn't look like us. It wasn't our baby, you know?
Right. Totally.
So that helped as well.
That's so interesting. I feel like I wouldn't have thought of that. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more, Whitney, about your relationship with the intended mom. You said they're part of your family now, right?
Yeah. They send pictures and videos all the time. They call me Auntie Wit to her, which is just so fun. She actually just sent me a video of, there's a picture of us on the refrigerator and she goes through and points and she's starting to say my name now and stuff.
Oh my gosh, how cool.
It's just special. They are going on vacation soon and they asked if they can like come this way first so I could see her again. I haven't seen her since, you know, I had her.
Right. And how old is she now?
She is 1.5. A little over 1.5.
Okay. And what about you, Jeremy? Did you have a relationship with the intended dad?
We spoke. He's a very nice guy. But there was a few moments that sticks out in my mind. Like they came to visit and we went to dinner. And not to be too graphic, my son started to choke, or one of my kids started to choke on a chip. And mom mode kicked in and she went, reached in the back of her throat and pulled the chip out. And the kid vomited all over me. And the intended father was just like, oh, my God. And I looked at him and I was like, you've got this to look forward to, buddy. So he kind of laughed at that. I'm sure that sticks. And then when the baby was born,
right,
just looking over to see and look on his face and being able to be like, I know that guy's feeling. That actually made me kind of emotional at the moment. And I was just like, I know what this guy's going through. And it was just very, very special for me. I don't think I've ever mentioned it to him, but like it was huge. I think that this all the traveling and all the stuff that we had to do for that moment was very, very special for me.
That moment was actually captured in pictures. I had hired a photographer to be there for them because it's something we never got. We had babies during COVID, so it was just us in the delivery room.
Mm-hmm.
So I hired a photographer and there's a picture in there where you could totally see Jeremy looking at them the moment she came. It's amazing.
Sure.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. I'd love to hear the birth story, like as much as you can tell us about that.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as TMI in my world, but you say whatever you want.
Yeah. The end of pregnancy was a little tough for me. She was like sitting on like a nerve or something in my back. So it was just constantly hurting all the time. So I actually pushed for, an induction a couple days before I was, 40 weeks. And it worked out. So we went in at 8:00 in the morning. Parents got there at 8:00 in the morning. And it was just, a waiting game from there. But once my doctor came in and broke my water, it was quick after that. And she showed up at 7:11 at night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And was it similar to other births that you've had? You know, it sounds like everything has been pretty textbook, like you said, for you.
Yeah, it was.
Which is great.
They were in the room. I know, some people don't want their surrogate or their intended parents in the room. That was a moment for me that I didn't want to take away from them. It was, their first baby and it was just special. So I allowed everybody in the room. They put baby on my stomach. They cut the cord and then went straight to mom. And they had their skin to skin time for about 15, 20 minutes in the room. And then everybody left. They went to their own room and had their moments with their baby.
So they handed her to Christine. Were you having kind of a similar thing with Jeremy? Just like looking at this, you know, parent that finally has this baby they've been dreaming about. Like, what did it feel like for you?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to get emotional.
No, you can get emotional. I'm welling up. It's emotional.
It was a special moment watching them become parents for the first time.
Oh.
You don't watch yourself become parents for the first time, you know?
Right, right. So,
to see it, and I don't know how many women, you know, get to sit in delivery rooms and see other people give birth besides their own births.
Right.
So it was a moment that, you know, I watched somebody else become parents, and it was just, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. You're making me cry. So it sounds like it just had kind of a beautiful effect on your lives. Like, did it bring you guys together as a couple, closer together too, going through this experience?
I think it did. I think, you know, it challenged our relationship in some ways that typically, you know, it doesn't get challenged in. So I think it was a good thing. I think it did definitely bring us closer together.
So Whitney, I know you shared your journey openly on social, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what inspired you to, you know, open up your story and be vulnerable, which I think is incredible. And what kind of response did you get?
I think there's a big misconception when it comes to surrogacy. A lot of people think that it was, you know, our embryo. It was, you know, my eggs or, you know, and we were just giving this child away. And that wasn't the case. So I felt very compelled to share everything. Like I did when we went through a miscarriage, that was something else, you know, not a lot of people know about or informed mm-hmm. about. So mm-hmm. I've been very open about my journeys with everything.
Yeah. What do you think are some of the common misconceptions about surrogacy? Or is there anything that people ask you when you say that you've been a surrogate? Like, what are kind of the most common questions that people have about the process?
Well, the number one, is it your baby?
Okay.
Not my baby. The travel is a big one. How many mm-hmm. times did I have to travel? Did I get to pick my doctor, you know, who delivered? Did I give birth in their state? Did they come here? I feel like there's a lot of open-ended questions that people don't know.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I love that, again, you're spreading awareness and talking about it publicly. I think it can only help people, and just knowledge is power, like in general. So I love that you're doing that. So I want to ask both of you, and we'll start with Jeremy. What's your biggest takeaway from this whole experience and this whole journey?
I would have to say is that there's always an avenue to help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to do your research to find there's always some way that you can help someone, whether it's big or it's small, like carrying a child for somebody. Like, there's always an avenue. I think that I've heard about it, you know, in the past of, you know, surrogacy, but I never thought it would actually, you know, affect me in my life directly. And it was just an amazing process. It really was.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Whitney? Biggest takeaway?
There's never enough surrogates. I feel like a lot of people don't think about that. You know, there's a lot of people that deserve to be parents and just they can't. And mm-hmm. this is an avenue to help that.
So in terms of conceivabilities, like, as you know, the people that were helping you navigate this whole situation, what were some of the best parts of like working with them? And like, what did they bring to the table that really helped you both just navigate this process?
I feel like their communication throughout the whole thing was fantastic. They, you know, were always a step ahead of everybody and told me what was coming and, you know, when it was coming and what we needed to do, and kind of set the whole thing up for success. Their matching process, meeting with Christine and Mark, that was our first meeting with intended parents, and it worked the first time. So I feel like they hit the mark in every avenue. Mm-hmm.
For me, to like, to also put me another thing at ease was their accessibility.
Mm.
Like, I feel like she was always able to get in contact with somebody directly. It didn't mm-hmm. matter what time it was. She would shoot a text or get a call and somebody would answer immediately. And
wow.
I thought that was sensational.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Another question for you, Jeremy, and then we're almost done, guys. What would you tell another like spouse or partner who might be nervous about their partner or wife, you know, being a surrogate?
First things first, to do your research and actively be involved in your research, because there is a lot of information out there. There's support groups, there's things, you know, with social media these days, there's people that can go out and like, hey, I want to do this. This was my experience. And then you can kind of share, because, you know, as males, we don't really like to communicate about, you know, fears and stuff.
Right.
But you can get with another group of dudes and be like, hey, man, this is what's going on. This is how it shakes out. This is how it went for me. I think that being active and not just sitting back on your haunches and letting your wife or your partner go through it, like actually being actively involved, will definitely, for me at least, put a lot of things at ease, because you are dealing with professionals. So I think that's what I would recommend.
Perfect. So $1 million question, would you guys do this again?
I personally went through 4 pregnancies in about 4 years and popped out 4 babies really quick, back to back to back to back. I actually ended up having a baby after my surrogacy journey. So I feel like my body needs a break for a couple of years.
Fair. That's fair.
But I always, you know, I do bring it up from time to time, like maybe in another 2 to 3 years, I would think about doing it again.
Yeah. And Jeremy, you cool with that?
I am not in the business of telling you what to do with your body.
I love that. I love that.
If she wants to do it, as long as you're healthy and you're safe, okay.
I love that. Okay. So final question, Whitney. What would you want somebody considering being a surrogate to know? Like, what do you know now that you didn't know when you were just first starting out?
So definitely do your, you know, do your research and know all the possibilities that could happen and lead up. But I don't take it back at all. I loved it.
And you guys will continue to, you know, to keep in touch with the family and watch the baby as she grows up. Like, that's got to be so cool.
I mean, yeah.
What are you guys picturing like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, like graduations and wedding, like all that cool stuff?
Yeah. Like I hope to be invited to all that stuff. Like it's a bond. I am so looking forward to seeing her again to see if there is that bond that I'm hoping for still. Cause you know, she was in my belly for 9 months. So I definitely think it's going to be a special lifelong relationship. For sure.
All right. Thank you so much to Whitney and Jeremy, and thanks to Conceivabilities. Guys, check them out on Instagram at Conceivabilities or conceivabilities.com. You can find all the info in my show notes as well. And I'll say it again, I think people who are surrogates are just the most selfless people. And I love Whitney's motivation behind doing this and just wanting to help another family. Such a beautiful thing. And I'm so freaking excited about Beautiful Bird, you guys, my next children's book. Please go check it out. Pre-order it at infertileafgroup.com. As I said in the intro, it is a beautiful story built through assisted reproductive technology, and it covers so many different topics. And it's about one of my best friends in the world and my godson. And you'll see some little cameos also throughout the book and some really fun Easter eggs too. So go check it out, infertileafgroup.com. It'll be out later this summer, but you can pre-order it now. Spread the word. Look at my Instagram for more updates, and I'm going to do a cover reveal as well. Also, check out Fertility Rally if you need a support group. We're the worst club with the best members, and we are happy to welcome you and support you no matter what you're going through. So check us out on Instagram at Fertility Rally, and our website is fertilityrally.com. Thank you so, so much for listening. I hope you're having a good day or night or wherever this finds you. But if you need anything, my DMs are open. You don't have to go through whatever you're going through alone. Thanks again to Whitney, Jeremy, and Conceivabilities.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.